coming up on this episode of The Break Room.
But he knows if she starts killing people, he's gonna give everything he's got. He's gonna...
No, I think she's gonna like kill people, knock them out, and then be like, if you just said yes, I wouldn't have had to kill all those people. Bye.
Right. Again, not a tactically smart decision. Yeah. But this is the ethics that Mark is trying to create a moral ground for himself.
But he's gotta be smart about it. Just cross your fingers behind your back when you say it.
Welcome back to the Break Room After Show, Invincible Edition. Is this one of the best episodes of the series so far? Goddamn, easily one of the best fights. And what's the deal with Anissa? What's her deal? We'll get into it. I'm Brandon Barrick, and joining me today, he has died at least 39 times, and it's made him a better man. It's Jay Washington.
That sounds like I was married, divorced. That's what died 39 times. No, I know it's about Donald, but it sounds like Jay, I've been committed to nuptials so many times and don't learn yet.
Well, it's true. We all die a little bit every time every relationship ends.
That sounds
Jay, this was merely a continuation of the storyline we've set up on this after show that you are a robot, and now you have learned that you've died 39 times.
Damn.
But it's going to be okay.
Okay.
And also joining us today, she's got an iron grip on my throat and could kill me at any second.
Yo.
It's Jeannie Ippolito.
Don't you forget it.
I never forget it. The tears. Amber's tears. Someone do something.
She's got an iron grip.
She acts like she's never been choked by a supervillain before.
She probably been choked the front way and it was kinky. She ain't never been choked
from
the back.
There was no consent.
She felt her spine. When you feel your spine in the cup of somebody's head.
Yeah.
Wait, can I tell you the worst part of that scene is that they had just gotten full plates of spaghetti and meatballs.
Yes, they did. They food had just got there.
They did not want to eat it afterwards. Yeah. And that probably was some good spaghetti and meatballs.
Do you get to check afterwards? Does the waiter come back and see, you guys are busy?
Like, I was waiting for someone else at the restaurant to turn to Anissa and be like, can I get some more water?
Yeah. Please? I'll have what she's choking. Having.
Because if she did
the iron
that,
grip.
Yeah, yeah. If somebody asked Anissa for some water, she'd have murdered them immediately.
May check, please. All right, we clearly have a lot to say about this episode. And before we get into our questions about this episode, let's do a quick little recap of what we saw. Jay, kick us off.
All right, if it's on the prompter, he's gonna read it. So, we open with a great meta scene about the obstacles in making animation, which I loved back. He was like, I'm telling you something. If you don't see nobody's head, they was on a budget. If it's just a wide shot, we was on a budget. But if we had some time, they look fabulous. They look like Magneto ended up looking in X-Men 97. And it was just dope doing that. Because I think now a lot of people, and then especially talking about how long it takes to make shows, that was the best part. Because now people can be like, oh, this is why it takes so long to get episodes. Yeah, it take a while. Also, the comic artist of Sales Dog is voiced by Tim Robinson from I Think You Should Leave. Incredible.
Yeah, yeah. That guy, Phil Schaff, he is in the comic books too. And he's shown up in the comic books a couple times as the writer of Science Dog in the comics. Uh-huh. And they do that same gag a lot where they're like, Mark meets him and he's like, hey, you ever notice sometimes in our comic books, there'll be a panel with no dialogue and we reuse the image a couple times to take up space. And then they do it on the page.
Oh, yeah, that's funny.
Yeah. So it's like a fun meta commentary. It's a way for the author to speak to the audience.
Which let them know, hey, we hear
you. We
y'all,
hear your complaints.
But shut the hell up.
Yeah, yeah.
Shut the hell up. So Mark and Amber go on a date, which is so beautiful, but it is, they were at the con, which by the way, Mark is horrible for tricking his girl. She was like, we in a line? He was like, look, man, I'm daddy.
She called him out though. She was like, I read more comics than you, bitch.
Also, she had just gotten done saying, as long as we're together, it's fine. I'll do anything. Don't say that if you don't mean it.
Mm-hmm. Now, their date at the con was interrupted because Rex was about to die again because he was like, I didn't got shot in the head. I need a mission.
Yeah.
So Mark goes and saves him, and Rex promises that if he wants to have a date the next time, the Guardians will cover for him on any day of the week, and then Cecil can chill. And dude, I was like, all right, we'll see if that's going to happen. We know that don't work out
at all. No, it works out perfectly. No problem.
Guardian don't work out at all.
But then Bulletproof says what we're all thinking. Are the Guardians really the best on the planet? I have questions.
Shout out to my homeboy Jay Farrell for that.
Yeah, he finally got a good, more than two lines of dialogue.
Yes.
Yeah, he's truly the voice of the audience. Everyone's kind of fucked up at one point or another, pretty consistently, if you ask me. Namely, what's going on with Monster Girl and Rudy? He can't fix her.
Bad language, my guy.
Let me fix you.
Yeah. Listen, she's going to be a baby soon. He has concerns.
He said, Bulletproof said, you got one guy who was best at the game who was stealing DNA from another coworker so he can date a coworker who don't want to be with him, who gonna be eating smush carrots.
The immortal still messed up about duplicates death, so Cecil puts him on a temporary leave of absence. He tries to quit, but Cecil's like, please don't quit.
What's he gonna do?
Go to Tahiti instead.
Also, how do you stop a dude that's immortal from quitting? Yeah. Like, hey bro, I'm gone. No, you can't leave.
He better have a good savings account saved up. If he's immortal, I hope he put like $2 in a bank account in 1852 that now is $1 billion. I don't know how interest works.
Puka shells.
He's got 100 Princess Diana beanie babies.
He got shekels. He got shekels.
Listen.
He's got the silver they gave to Judas, baby. Like, he's still got it.
He got that. So he was the one there. He picked it up. Was
Do you
like,
think
oh,
he was Judas? You know how he's been Abraham Lincoln?
Yeah, maybe.
He didn't like the competition from this Christ
guy. He was
guy.
Like, this Christ dude,
he's like, I can't walk on water.
But I'm immortal. He the son of God? Let me show you something.
Cecil doesn't want him to quit. He also doesn't want Donald to quit. But Donald wants to quit because he's like, I'm a bot. So Cecil shows him that Donald has died 39 times, but he chose to have his memory erased. He was the one who was like, take it away, eternal sunshine of the spotless mind, me bitch.
But again, we're taking Cecil's word on that.
No, Cecil said, oh no, this is what you wanted.
I bet there's a little video of Donald being like, hi, Donnie.
That's what I thought the video was going to be. Instead, it's just far away
you
shots
go total
of
weird.
Donald by himself constantly.
I could see Donald, like if I died 39 times, I'd be like, ugh. Yeah, like I don't want to have nightmares about that.
To bring it back to Immortal, like Immortal and Duplicate both mentioned like their many deaths.
Yeah.
And how that has like made them who they are.
Yeah.
And they weren't all chill all the time. So it's like, especially do know the Duplicate. Constant trauma of dying.
Yeah, Duplicate got like ripped apart many times. Listen, Donald uses this knowledge of his 39 deaths to talk to William's boyfriend, Rick. Like, he was on a ledge. He talks him off the ledge, literally. He's messed up.
Yeah.
He decides that this time he'll keep his memories, realizing the importance of his lived experiences. Yeah.
And plus, he can do the fun, like, chess thing.
Yeah, he's like, look at my medal.
Also, what if Rick is not gay anymore? We keep saying that, because this Rick got put back together. And all
Are you ship of the seeing Rick here?
Well, no, because my thing is, what Rick is like, yo, parts of my memory aren't together.
Yeah, yeah.
And William is just the guy to help console him right now. What if he's like, hey, bro, what are you doing?
Yeah, I mean, William and Judy met like once.
Again, very clingy. This is what I'm saying. If I was him, I would be like, William, man, like, I got turned into an android. I need to date around.
Exactly. Like, bro, chill out for a second.
Also, I would not go back to school.
Now, I think he wants some normalcy.
Man, that is not normalcy.
Yeah. Go start streaming on Twitch, bro. You know what I mean? That's normal.
Oh, is this
That's normal.
This is why all those awful YouTubers are awful YouTubers, because they have half their brain.
Come on, Jada, let's do it. Hey guys, welcome to a new episode. We were androids, now we're back.
We're taking $1 million and turning 30 lucky people into androids.
Make sure to like, subscribe, and share this video.
Only 5 of them will get to live. Well, before everything goes to hell in the last 15 minutes of the episode, Mark makes the choice to commit to Amber, taking the night off so we can get some classic superhero dating shenanigans, using powers to impress your partner.
Yeah, I still think Supermaning it.
Flying someone, they went to New York, I assume.
They went all around the world.
I thought they just went to like New York City.
Yeah, they went someplace close.
There was a big bridge.
Yeah.
Buildings that kind of look like New York. I don't know. They went to, I don't think they were in Chicago. They have to go to Chicago, but I don't think they were in Chicago. I think flying through the air would suck.
Yeah, because you're getting all dewy on your face.
Dewy.
Yeah.
Bugs.
And she even brings up, like, if you were to take us to Hawaii, you're going to carry the bags. I'm going to sit on your back. You can only go a certain speed before it's like dangerous or uncomfortable.
Plus, she should wear goggles. Like, my contacts would dry out.
Get a windshield. Like, COVID masks. Put one on her face. Right. Like a windshield.
Yeah.
So she messing up her hair and everything. Which also, shout out to animation, keeping a black woman's hair perfect. In the air?
Wait, but also, we find out that Mark isn't being paid by Cecil. No, like, he's like, should I ask for a salary? And I'm like, bitch, you're not getting a salary?
Most superheroes don't.
Right. Then you're beholden to the people paying.
Yeah, the Avengers don't get paid. They get a free place to live.
Sam Wilson can't even get a bank loan.
And he's
that
black.
That is true, but
Well, as they're on their date, everything's going great. But then Anissa, the Viltrumite, arrives. She's an agent of the Viltrumite Empire and just doing her thing. You know, just quickly grabs Amber by the throat. No biggie, no biggie, no biggie. Threatens to kill her right there in the restaurant. No big deal. Threatens to kill everyone in the restaurant.
I would ask if I could eat my spaghetti first.
Can I finish my
While your partner's being held at the neck, hey, before you kill...
I'm saying if I was Amber, I would be like, my spaghetti just got here. I just want one bite while it's still hot.
We find out Anissa is here to persuade Mark to take up Nolan's mission to get Earth ready for a Viltrumite invasion. You know, she doesn't want to kill everyone, just get everyone ready. She makes some good points. This is Evan.
She does. She does make some good points.
This is some there's a lot of talk of ethics in this episode, right? Yes. Amber brings up the word ethics.
Yeah.
You know, the idea of like breaking up with your partner because they're out saving the world doesn't feel ethical, or making them come on a date with you and not be ready to protect the world. Is that ethical? You know, Anissa brings up that, like, humans suck. We're killing the planet.
Yeah.
We do all this stuff for a few rich people and let them live while we let them get away with everything. Mm-hmm. Thousands die every day. Mark, you know, this is another Superman argument.
Yeah.
You know, Superman's in America mostly usually saving Americans, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Why isn't he out there, like, stopping genocides or
Well, this is also the Rick and Morty, like, that Borg creature that, like, assimilates all of them. And then they're like, this isn't fair. And then they all turn out to be, like, child molesters. And they're like, oh, maybe you can assimilate this planet. That's fine.
Yeah. Right. So all this bad stuff is constantly happening on Earth. And Mark's not doing anything to fix it. But if the Viltrumites were here... they would fix everything. The bad people would get punished. They determine who the bad people are. The bad people get punished. There would be prosperity. They'd fix the world. Because this was Viltrum's problem too, right? Overpopulation.
Yeah. They fixed it.
They killed the weak. Whatever. They became a Spartan Empire, if you will. So this is Anissa's pitch. Like, I'm just here. I'm not here to kill you, Mark. I'm not here to kill these people. I'm here to give you one last chance. Mm-hmm. Get the Earth ready for invasion. You be the emissary. Tell them what's coming. And as long as they comply, no one has to die. I mean, people are going to die. She's kind of bearing the lead there. But, like, she's saying we can do this the most ethical way.
Yeah.
I'll say that. But that's the pitch she's making to Mark.
Here's my elevator pitch.
Yeah.
Why we should be in the Empire.
Yeah. Join the Empire. Things are great. Everyone's getting food.
You know what would have been best? And this should have pulled out. Look, Mark, here's a brochure. Read it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So your planet doesn't want to join the Empire, some shit like that.
I think the Viltrumites need to bring some conquered people as emissaries, right?
Yeah.
Because you only ever hear it from the Viltrumites.
Yeah.
Let's meet a mushbug, right?
Yeah.
From planet Mushbugia, right? Mm-hmm. And his planet's been taken over by the Viltrumites. Let's see what he has to say.
I think that the Viltrumites should come, spend a week fixing the environment, and then being like, this is just a taste.
Do what Google does. Like, pick a state and do your installation there and see how well it works next.
Yeah.
Let the Viltrumites go to Kansas. Apologies to Kansas.
I was going
to
say Florida.
Fix things up. Oh, yeah.
Florida's best.
Go to Florida. Viltrumites.
Go to Florida.
Fix the environment.
We found out bears on crack down there.
Get that red tide out of there. Fix the Okeechobee. Come on. Get the snakes out of the Everglades that don't belong. Come on, Viltrumites.
They could fix that floating garbage thing in the middle of the ocean.
No, I like that.
Well, now it's got turtles.
Okay. Turtles and garbage. Now, Mark puts this to a test, and Anissa proves herself by one shot the kaiju. Ooh. She let this man go through hell and was like,
I was laughing her ass off.
I felt bad for that kaiju. I felt bad for him.
Yeah, he's just angry.
And the whole ship that they with the cruise liner, which, by the way, makes me not want to perform on the cruise, because, like, what if a big ass monster? Never mind. Then she poses the question to him again. Will he be the Viltrumite he's supposed to be? Will he be his father's son? Which also hurts to hear.
Wrong thing to say to him. His whole thing is, I don't want to be my father's son.
Right.
So he refuses, and a chilling quote from Anissa says, quote, remember, we started this with reason. Mm. And as she flies in and sets off on one of the best action series of the year. Because also Cecil's in his ear like, hey, bro, she gonna beat your ass.
Just say what kind of.
He's like, hey, bro, just say, listen, bro, she will.
Yeah, he's like a little fly around her face. Yeah. Like, she's like, what? Get away.
Cecil was like, hey, bro, don't, Mark, please, God, don't do it. He's like, you already got whooped by your daddy.
Mark gets beat up, and then Cecil tells him, just agree with Anissa. Just say, yes, I will take over the earth so that they can regroup. But he continues to fight because men would rather fight a Viltrumite than go to therapy. And
I don't know if this is therapy.
I don't know if this is therapy!
And he ends up with Anissa's foot on his neck, ready to kill him. And she could, because she's faster and stronger, then Mark, or probably Nolan, to be honest. Mark challenges her to do it, and Anissa stops. He bluffs her. He successfully bluffs her. He's like, do it. She's like, I'm not supposed to.
Do you think part of that, too, was what Alan said last episode, where he's like, Alan told Mark, like, Viltrumites kind of are weird about killing other Viltrumites. When he was telling him that Nolan was could still be alive, he's heard of, like, a prison or whatever.
Yeah, I mean,
I wonder if that was ringing in Mark's head, where it's like, this, she could kill me, but she hasn't done it yet. What is she waiting for? Yeah. Why is she talking to me?
Because even Nolan said, because Viltrumite blood is so pure, he's basically pure Viltrumite. So Ness is like, I'm just here to talk to dude. I don't want to kill him.
It's not her mission to kill him. She leaves, but not without warning him that another Viltrumite will check on him soon.
There's always another Viltrumite coming.
What is this, a Christmas carol, but with Viltrumites?
That's Evan's fault, not yours.
The Viltrumite of Christmas past.
I love how Gina said it with just all conviction, too. She was like, I'm going to say this.
Come in, good fellow, so you can know me. I am the Viltrumite of Christmas present.
I am the Viltrumite of Empire's past. Mm.
We get one of the most heartbreaking scenes in this season. Amber and Mark very likely breaking up.
Good.
I mean, we've
been waiting for this.
It's tough, though. I mean, it was heavy. And, like, I really appreciated this show taking the time to go through this scene kind of slowly and patiently.
So you don't blame either of them. You know where both of them are. Like,
we knew this breakup was coming.
They both love each other. Yeah. She just wants to be someone's top priority, and she will never be his top priority.
She was cool with it. Until her neck almost got ripped off.
She was trying to be cool with it. She wasn't actually actually cool with it. She just thought it would be selfish for her to be like, hey, can you put me first instead of all the dying people?
Text. Hey, Mark, I know you're saving the world, but I'm horny. Can you please? It's either you come back or I holler at Rexplode.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah, I think she's just realized it's not sustainable for her, and it's scary.
Listen, also, what is she going to do? Marry her college boyfriend or high school boyfriend? What is this?
Right.
Florida?
Go on a couple other dates.
Jesus.
Florida, we'll get you help soon. Don't worry.
Here's my question, though. Who, if you think about this in real life, right? You find out that your girl, let's say you're the new dude that comes along to Amber's life. Mm-hmm. So tell me about your ex. I don't want to talk about him. Yeah, tell me about your ex. Well, you see up there in the sky? You mean Invincible? That's him. Like, wait, what? Like, how do you follow that?
Yeah. No, you follow it by being a good boyfriend. You know that dude's a crappy boyfriend.
Yeah. You don't run out on dinner.
Yeah, exactly. That's in fact, you probably have to do the bare minimum to keep her happy.
You pay for a hotel in Hawaii.
So
that's
now
how
she
you keep
so now
down.
She gets mad. I want to go on vacation, but we can't have it. Well, my ex-boyfriend could fly me there.
Yeah, you'd be camping in the woods, Amber. Because your ex-boyfriend doesn't have a checking account,
okay? We're learning a lot about who has healthy relationships up here.
Again, we already know it. So, I mean, what are we doing here, people?
What are we doing here? Great question, Jay. And it's at that question that Mark is finally at his lowest point. What is he doing here? And that's when we finally get the return of Engstrom Levy. Problems on over, Mark. He's calling from Mom's phone. Villains have the best timing for good old Mark. You know, he just can't get a break.
He's still got that gross head.
He's still got that gross Engstrom Levy head. And in our mid-credit scene, we find that Anissa captures Alan for the Viltrumite prison. But I think he wanted to be captured.
He did, because he wants to see that secret prison that he talked to Mark about. He was like, rumor has it they've got a secret prison.
Right. Now, was he flying through space hoping to get found? It seemed like it happened in the moment.
Yeah, because he's like, no, because he even says to himself, did they see me? I think they saw me. So I think he's been flying around.
As soon as he gets the
like,
first punch, and he's like, oh, I'm going to be okay.
Yeah.
He was like, he felt his eye in his head, was like, oh, I'm fine.
Yeah, that's the first real fight he's been in since he got jacked. Yeah. So he was like, oh, okay, I can pretend to be knocked out. Yeah, this is Alan thinking on his feet. Maybe he got smarter when he died,
Maybe his brain got a little bigger,
because he used to be
a
little naive.
The brain's a muscle, right?
Yeah.
Right? No, that's an organ.
I don't know what we're doing, ladies and gentlemen. We're thinking, hey, if you die, you get smarter.
Exercise your brain every day. Yeah, do not think that.
It's a weird Stephen King movie.
I think you can do it.
Real quick, Evan popping in here to say we want to take a quick second to thank our sponsor, Kalshi. Kalshi is the first legal financial exchange in the U.S. where you can bet on any event, which for us means Rotten Tomato scores. Furiosa's new trailer is out, for instance, and that's fueling speculation on whether or not the Rotten Tomato score will be above 90. You can buy shares on either side of it. As early reviews come in, the prices will fluctuate. So if the share price for above 90 is up to 75 cents or something before opening weekend and you sell, you'll get 75 cents. It's kind of like fantasy football, only for the entertainment industry. It's super fun and you can make some money doing it. Right now, I've got some money on whether or not The Acolyte is going to be a big hit with critics. I think it's going to hit above 90 Rotten Tomatoes. So, you know, get your odds in while you can. Kalshi is the only place you can bet on Rotten Tomatoes scores in all 50 states, but it's got a ton of different markets, not just Rotten Tomatoes. There's also markets on politics, music, climate, economics, tech, games, and more. You can sign up by going to kalshi.com/breakroom, and the first 500 traders will get a free $20 credit. Thanks, Kalshi, for sponsoring this episode. Back to you guys.
So let's get into our questions for this episode. First, I want to talk about Mark's decision here to, like, stand his ground with Anissa and not be like, yeah, I'll get the planet ready. Get out of here. Instead, like, say, no, I'm not playing this game. I'll wait for the next Viltrumite. Mm-hmm. Was that the right decision? Evan's got a clip he wants to play for us to set this up.
He really rolled the dice on that one, Mark. All over a few words.
It's more than just words.
So yeah, with Mark's reply there, it's more than just words. Like, do you think that, like, his personal code of ethics is more important than a strategy? Because Cecil kind of has, like, a good idea going, right? Like, just say you'll do it,
and we'll buy
some time. What do you guys think?
I mean, here's the thing. He did learn a lot, which is she wasn't there to kill him. They probably won't just kill him right off the bat. So he learned that. But I don't think that was his intention. I don't think his intention was like, I'm gonna get intel. I think he's just a stupid college kid that in the moment was like, no, if I say it, I'll be kind of like my dad and I don't want to. I think he should have just gone along with it and then had actual intel. Like, okay, we know she's super strong. We know this, like, let's go back. Also, I bought some time. Like, now she's gonna immediately go back and be like, no, he rejected it. And they're like, all right, let's attack. But if she goes back and she's like, yeah, he agreed. Let's give him a couple months. He wants to go to Hawaii with his girlfriend. Sure. I think you should agree.
I guess. I mean, I see it's a rash decision, certainly, because my coward ass would immediately be like, yeah, whatever you say, Nessa. So, right?
Yeah.
But he's dealing with the fact that, you know, his life's a lie, right? He's had this huge revelation about his father, what is in his blood.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the idea of, like, this trauma we bring through generations of, like, I am this Viltrumite and it will ultimately be my fate to, like, become this monster, what I see as a monster. And I think him standing his ground and being like, no, I'm not going to get on that slippery slope of, like, yes, we'll do it, even though I'm lying to you. I think he's so sick of what all the lies his father told caused all this pain.
And I know that's a dumb... What if she had then immediately killed everyone that was on that cruise ship?
Tactically,
then we
would have
been like, hey, you're an idiot. You just got all those people killed. Because if I was her, I would be like, I'm going to kill. I can't kill him. I'm going to kill all these people.
But he knows if she starts killing people, he's going to give everything he's got. He's going to...
No, I think she's going to, like, kill people, knock them out, and then be like, if you had just said yes, I wouldn't have had to kill all those people. Bye.
Right. Again, not a tactically smart decision.
Yeah.
But this is the ethics that Mark is trying to create a moral ground for himself.
But he's
got to
be smart about it. He's got to be smart about it.
Sure.
Just cross your fingers behind your back when you say it.
Had a thing.
What do you think, Jay?
He's a hero.
Right.
That's it.
He doesn't want to, he's got to stand his ground.
Stand his ground. He's a hero, but also the cross your fingers.
That works, though.
Does that work still?
Yeah, that's good magic. Okay. That magic works. He also doesn't know, Mark doesn't know, you know, Cecil being like, just say yes, buy some time, we'll get amped up. Mark doesn't know about the, you know, the sound from the kaiju underwater that hurt Mark.
He doesn't know about it.
He doesn't know
that.
Cecil's got a recording of that. Cecil's developing all these weapons in the white room, right, that, like, can hurt Viltrumites. Because we've seen in other universes through Angstrom Levy that they found ways to capture
But he knows about his dad's books. He knows that Alan is investigating.
Sure.
So say yes to buy yourself that time.
Right.
Like this is, listen, if Mark dies, the planet has no defenders.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I think this is a purely selfish decision because—
I agree with that.
Because he's saying like, no, if I say it, then I'm going to feel like I'm my dad and that feels bad inside me. I think it's a selfish decision because I think a selfless person would say, sure, I agree. Knowing that's going to make him feel terrible, but it's what's best for the actual planet that he has sworn to defend.
I agree. I agree.
Yeah, and to Jay's point too, I mean, like, he is a hero, right? But there is an interesting kind of like Venn diagram of like heroism and selfishness. Mm-hmm. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're not selfish.
Yeah, they're not necessarily separate from each other, which isn't always a good or a bad thing.
Right? Yeah.
But I think if this was Buffy, I think she would have been like, cool, I agree. And then she would have gone back to Giles we need a plan. Because she would have actually cared about the people, whereas Mark cares about himself.
He cares about the people, though. Yeah, he cares about the people. He's doing this. He's doing what he thinks he needs to do to be a good hero.
I think if this scene had been tweaked very slightly and she just killed everyone at the end, this would not be a debate. We would be all saying Mark is an idiot.
I agree that it's a tactically bad decision to make in the moment.
Just say he's a stupid, selfish college boy.
He is ignorant in that he's young and he hasn't had a ton of life experiences. He is selfish in that he wants things for himself. And he is a college boy for now. So he gets kicked out. Also, stop going to college, Mark. What are you doing?
Yeah!
He's got to get something. He got a job.
So. I mean, it's tough. He's 18, yeah. Maybe 19.
Yeah.
Yeah.
These are tough decisions to make. I mean, it's like when you go back and you read.
Just defer. Take some community college classes. Take a pottery class.
Like, he doesn't know what the future holds, and he doesn't know what it's like to live more than 18 years, 19 mm-hmm. years.
Yeah.
Like, he will have a lot of growing up to do, and he makes poor decisions that cost people's lives.
35-year-old Mark would have said to Anissa, sure.
Well, he went through this with his dad, too. He told his dad no and was used as a weapon to kill
his dad
innocent people
like,
on a subway train. He was pushed through people.
With face first.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He knows the cost of that.
And he hasn't learned from it.
He knows it's a slippery slope to start being like, yeah, we'll do what you say.
I think it's also a pride thing. I think this is a very dudely thing to do.
Yeah.
I would have, like, the smart thing would have been like, let's join forces somewhere else and talk about how we kill him. I'm gonna call Alan, see if he's found anything.
He was trying to buy time and he made a calculated bet that worked out, but it was not the best tactical decision. I agree. Mm-hmm. I agree with that. We're all in accordance. We all agree. Yep. Evan, are you okay with that?
Yeah, that's good.
Okay. Jessica, are you okay with that?
No.
Jessica hates it.
Wait, was it Gina's idea?
No, I was saying.
Then I'm against.
There you go.
I'm also against.
That's one vote for Gina. Here we go. Before we get into more of our questions, we want to thank our sponsors today, like Miracle Made. Now, I don't know if you know this, folks, but Evan swears by Miracle Made sheets. When you're sleeping, your temperature has a huge impact on how well you sleep. And Miracle Made sheets use silver-infused fabrics inspired by NASA that prevent up to 99.7% of bacterial growth, which can cause breakouts and acne. Gross. They're temperature regulating bedding that lets you sleep at the perfect temperature all night long. With Miracle Made sheets, your sheets stay fresh and clean 3 times longer than other sheets. They're also luxuriously comfortable without the high price tag of other luxury brands. It's like sleeping in a 5-star hotel at home. You have to clean up after yourself. I did that joke yesterday. Just a fucking. I got no original thoughts, Jay. Evan used the sheets. Evan, did it feel like sleeping in a hotel?
Oh, yeah. It felt great. I sound very sarcastic, but it felt great.
Did you have to clean up after yourself in the morning?
I did have to clean up after myself. But, you know, I had to wake up really early today, and I was sleeping in the Miracle Made sheets. Woke up feeling refreshed, and it was
perfect.
Great. I highly, highly recommend
it. Highly recommend it. Evan doesn't even have a mattress. Just sheets on the ground.
I told you not to tell them.
Sorry, Evan. Sorry. We can cut that out. Upgrade your sleep with Miracle Made. Go to trymiracle.com/breakroom and use the code breakroom to claim your free 3-piece towel set and save over 40% off. Again, that's trymiracle.com/breakroom to treat yourself. Miracle is so confident in their product, it's backed with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So if you aren't 100% satisfied, you'll get a full refund. Thank you, Miracle Made, for sponsoring this episode. We also want to thank Jelly Bean Planet because Easter is right around the corner. And if there's one planet that's not full of killing aliens, it's the Jelly Bean Planet, okay? They will not come dominate Earth. They will just provide us with delicious jelly beans. You can grab your own jelly beans from our sponsor, Jelly Bean Planet. They've got so many different containers. They got an 8-ounce triangular box. Ooh, look at the triangle. They got the Papa Beans, which Gina's eating during the show.
How?
They have a 42.5-ounce jar of jelly beans, which is so many jelly beans. We eat things all the time. You're tired of hearing us talk about them, but they're so delicious, we can't help it. These jelly beans, they have natural flavors from plant-based colors. No GMO, no gelatin, no gluten, no palm oil. Go to our exclusive link below and use code 15NWROCKSTAR to get 15% off your 42.5-ounce jar of Jelly Bean Planet jelly beans today. Click the link in the description. You can also find them on Amazon. And of course, be sure to check out nerdriot.shop. Grabbing some merch from nerdriot.shop is the best way to support the channel. And there's tons of great designs on there. Gina's wearing the Deadpool
Marvel Jesus.
Marvel Jesus hands, praying, a little rosary, a little Deadpool on a cross. God's not gonna like that one, folks. I'm wearing an old school Quantum Thief shirt. This was from Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumania.
That was a movie.
You all love that movie. You gave it 5 stars on Letterboxd. Find some merch from yourself, from your favorite fandom at nerdriot.shop. And thanks for supporting the channel. Okay, eat your jelly bean. Gina, eat your jelly
bean. Just trying to get a vanilla bean one.
Let's talk about Anissa, guys.
Vanilla.
As we said before, it looks like the show is closely adhering to the comics.
Yeah.
So we won't reveal everything about Anissa.
We're not going to talk everything about Anissa.
It gets dark.
Yeah.
Okay. Some of her more important interactions with Mark, they happen way down the line. It's going to get weird. You do the research on Young.
We don't want to talk about that.
No.
The show does follow the comics very closely, like we said, but they've made changes. They've changed some things. We don't know what's going to happen on the show between Anissa and Mark. Some things happen in the comic books. If you want to know about that, you can read ahead. But like, we
Google
don't want to talk
it.
About that here. We don't want to talk about it here
today. Trigger warning. Google it.
Yeah.
She's going to fight. Now, she will fight against Mark and the Coalition of Planets, but will have a slight change of heart in the most problematic of ways. All that to say, how do you two feel about Anissa?
I mean, again, like another chilling Viltrumite, right? Mm-hmm. And I would say, you know, she didn't start coming out killing everyone right away.
Yeah.
Which is usually their MO.
She seems intrigued by Mark.
Yeah. She's definitely like studying Mark, seeing what he's up to, judging him.
Listen, if you only meet one type of person in your entire life, and then all of a sudden you're like, oh, what's this guy doing? He's not being all Viltrumite.
Right.
You would all of a sudden be like, huh, okay.
But
I'm
also,
intrigued.
Isn't Anissa like older because of how old Viltrumites are?
Yeah.
So isn't she like a Viltrumite cougar?
I do know in the comics, I think at this point, she's like 1,000 years old already.
Mm-hmm. See?
So yes, she is.
She's a Viltrumite cougar. She's
robbing
the
cradle.
She's used to like going to planets and just destroying.
Right.
This is like she's having a conversation sort of as equals with the first person who's not immediately like, yes, let us conquer this planet. Yes,
yeah.
Let us be strong. Mm. So he's a different type of Viltrumite than she's used to.
And they usually send ahead a Viltrumite. That's the normal MO. They'll send one ahead who's like there to prep the planet and then they show up and kind of finish the job.
Yeah. Right.
And I assume like she's usually dealing with a Viltrumite who's like, yeah, I've been here. Killed 100,000 people, we're ready, let's go.
Yeah.
Instead, this guy's like, no, we love the fact that billionaires control us. We're working on it. Let us figure it out ourselves.
Yeah, she's
I know
like,
it's been
you
a
guys
rough...
have 200 years left.
200?
And then you're all destroyed. And then, like, you've destroyed your planet. And he's like, sorry, though.
Also, every TV show and cartoon is like, yo, humans got about 200 years left.
Yeah.
Which is really a scary way to tell us, we about here pretty soon, y'all. I mean, we gonna be gone. But
I don't care.
Not me. I'm getting one of those personality.
For the Armin Zola is that?
Upload your brain to the cloud so that you can 80s dance party like a Black Mirror.
I'm gonna get uploaded to Marvel Snap.
Oh,
yeah.
Fun.
I'm just gonna be a card in Marvel Snap. That's gonna be
fun.
Me in my life. No, imagine if the Viltrumites had shown up during the Middle Ages, dude. They'd be like, these people. They're not gonna make it 20 days.
Look, there's this thing with these rats that's about to happen, right? It's called a plague.
Human body has 4 humors. And that's how you can heal someone. Let's get some of this blood out, this dirty blood. Like that's what they would have seen in the Middle Ages. Why didn't they show up then? You could have really helped us out.
Because we weren't, I mean, in the Middle Ages, it was like, they'll survive or they won't, but they're not gonna take the entire planet down.
Oh, you're right. They're like, these dolphins are gonna take over.
Yeah, exactly.
These dolphins haven't figured out. You think they sent like a Viltrumite dolphin? And he was with the dolphins?
Yeah.
Maybe that's what happened to the dodo birds. They sent a Viltrumite dodo bird.
And it killed
all the other dodo birds getting ready for the other Viltrumites to come.
Damn dodo birds.
And then the Viltrumites show up and they were like, oh, the dodo birds weren't the dominant species. Screwed up.
All right, do we see Anissa again before the end of the season? What do you guys think?
Over our
or is it too much?
This is good content.
Is it too much to cram a new Viltrumite threat in the last episode?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of stuff. I mean, you need to wrap up Angstrom Levy before, I think we're going to see Angstrom Levy's like end game. Then he's going to be defeated. We're going to see Alan in the prison finding Nolan and being like, hi, we're going to Ocean's 11 out of here.
Right.
Like, do what I do. And then it's going to end with like, well, the Viltrumites are on their way. We've got Alan, Nolan, Purple Baby, and like the crappy Guardians.
Thetis.
Yeah, but like they're going to be like, all right, like suit up. And it's going to be like, there's 10 of us and 800 million of them.
We've got D.A. Sinclair with a bunch of cyborgs that are not quite ready for prime time.
I don't know what he's doing down there, but he's not.
He's a typical
delaying government
employee.
He's delaying.
Oh, he is.
Where he's like, oh, just another 5 months. We'll get this done.
He's like, oh, fill out this form and go stand in line B12.
Over
and then
deadline
we'll...
and over budget, D.A. Sinclair.
I think the cyborg's
working.
I think Anissa does go back. She starts the little Tells Creek or whatever, like, yo, she told him he ain't coming. Alan shows up.
Right.
The Nolan thing. I think the thing is going to, the Angstrom Levy thing is the weirdest part.
Yeah.
Because it's like, bros.
Did you just wrap that up or like?
Just like, bros just going to be here.
Well, but he's a character that you can like, get out of the dimension and then bring back whenever you
want.
Right?
Yeah,
so it's like, I'm worried that, you know, no spoilers for the comics or anything, but I'm worried he could do something like take Oliver, leave the dimension, take Debbie and Oliver, leave the dimension.
You know what I think they should do? I think they should be like, listen, you need a vacation. We just sent the immortal to Hawaii
to Bermuda to chill.
Why don't you go hang out there? And then they have their own spinoff, like a buddy cop comedy where it's a guy who can't die and a guy with 79 brains in his head. And then he's like, you know what? You're right. I don't feel murderous anymore. I did just need a vacation.
He's like, in one dimension, there's a water slide at this resort, but not this one.
That is how you should use that power. You should use that power to find the most fun theme parks.
In one dimension, the water slide is spaghetti and meatballs.
Oh, yeah. Give me that dimension.
That's disturbing.
It's possible. Jay, would you go on a cruise ship if you knew there were kaiju out in the ocean?
Thank you, Brandon, because for letting people know, I will be performing on a cruise, and now I don't want to go, because now I don't know what's in the damn ocean.
If you're worried about kaiju, that's the last.
Already, I know there's pirates. There's real pirates.
No, just try and talk to them first. Like, I was mad that he didn't say, like, hi, kaiju.
He didn't try to speak to the kaiju.
Yeah, what if that kaiju wanted to
I can't swim.
Was it giant?
Well, learn to swim between now and your tour, dude. What
also, just carry your life jacket around.
Look around like Marty McFly.
Wasn't it in season one that they fought giant or whatever, that big thing that had the mind of like a 5-year-old and was just like, ouchie.
Well, they, do they?
Also, what is up with all these creatures in Invincible having these, like, they're, like, stunning mentally gross?
Like the little octopus man?
The octopus dude, the Rexplode.
He just learned English.
I was like, Rexplode, don't kill this guy.
He did feel bad about it. He was like, oh, you're stupid.
Oh, you're stupid.
And he made a good point, which he was like, hey, I speak your language.
Yeah, I just learned English.
And, like, you don't speak my language, bitch. Like, who's the stupid one here? Don't kill that octopus man.
I don't know. Listen, who wants to, look, first of all, I would actually, now that I think about it, bring the Viltrumites in. It's too many damn kaiju running around.
Do we think Aquaria was responsible for that?
I don't give a damn. It's still kaiju out here. She probably not.
She must have known.
No, she has her own problems.
She's been running the underworld kingdom.
Right.
Underwater kingdom. She's dealing with that. That if somebody just happened to escape, look, they'll deal with it up there.
Yeah, she saw it pass through and she's like, not my problem anymore.
Yeah,
not my problem
anymore. Service problem she's now. Got enough to deal with.
Didn't attack my city.
Okay,
that's fair. Okay, well, as we do for every episode of Invincible, who was the most emotionally invincible character?
Jesus.
This is an easy one this time.
You think it's an easy one?
It's easy. Okay. It has to be Donald. He saw himself die 39 times, and he still was like, sure, shoot those sweet, sweet memories back.
Yeah, he
into
was
my
like,
brain.
You know what? Give me the memories back.
Yeah, and then he used it to like help a kid. Also, we see him every time he died. He was being heroic.
He was alone.
Like he is
too.
An unsung
hero. He was alone.
Hero.
The GTA has so many soldiers.
How is he not a guardian of the globe as many times as he's died?
Because he's not good at it. He dies every time.
Cecil put Rudy back in charge of the Guardians of the Globe. Why isn't my man Black Samson getting a chance to lead this team?
We see Donald.
You really want the answer to this?
We
see Donald run back into a building that's exploding, and he's like, I have enough time, explode.
Okay, you say that Invincible will make stupid, selfish choices. Donald's making stupid, selfish choices.
No, because he's just like an average human, so his
death... He's not helping anything.
No,
he's just dying. And he's not an average human. He's a high-level government employee who knows things. He should be protecting himself.
He tries. He tries each time. And with no thought for his own death.
Pick yourself up and try again. Dust yourself off and try again.
Try again.
Why won't they make Black Samson the leader of...
Because he ain't got his hair. Like,
I did appreciate going for that out.
Hey, bro, like, the whole Samson thing.
I used to have it.
Yeah, he loses strength when you cut off his
hair. That guy understands the Guardians more than anyone. Put him in charge, man.
He doesn't want it. That's why. He understands him too well that he's like,
I don't want to be in charge.
No.
Who, Black Samson?
Yeah.
Yeah, Black Samson's like, he's like, hey, bro, we'll fight together. I'm not the leader of this shit.
Yeah. I mean, that's a smart choice.
Rudy be in charge. He's just like, I just figured out what it was like to have fear, and I'm okay with it now.
He still ain't okay
with
it.
He's a child.
Black Samson's the smartest one. He's like, look, it's a fucked up family, and they're fucked up.
But it's family.
I'm fine with being securely in the middle and having job security, but not making the decisions.
I hope all the Guardians are getting paid.
We got the one chick in the hospital who got all her bones crushed.
Oh, tiny little shrinking.
We realize that's exactly what happened to her. All her bones were crushed.
Gross.
Yeah.
Who's the most emotionally invincible, Jay?
Oh, it's Donald, for sure.
Oh, it is Donald.
Yeah. Okay.
Bro sat there and watched himself die 39 times. It was like, you know what? It is what it is. Like, it's just life now. I'm here, so.
I'm all robot, baby. I guess for me, who's the most
You gotta say invincible? Donald. Don't not say Donald because we said Donald. Make it a threefer.
I like Donald. I think he made the right choice by being like, put the memories back in. Mm-hmm. It's probably gonna mess him up.
Yeah.
But he made the good choice. Yeah, okay, I'll go with the crowd.
Yes!
Okay, Donald.
Clean sweep.
Ferguson, you are the most emotionally invincible this episode. You earned it. You deserved it. You got to the bottom of what's wrong with your brain. You did the work.
Clean sweep.
I appreciate that.
Clean
sweep. I appreciate that. It's a clean sweep for Donald Ferguson, folks. Well, that's it for today. Make sure to subscribe to the Breakroom channel right here on YouTube and give us a follow on Twitch where we do these videos live. Jay, would you like to tell the folks where they can find you?
Y'all already know I'm Mr. J.
You'll be in the ocean soon?
In the ocean. Mr. J. Washington in the ocean. Just find me.
You'll see him performing in a life jacket on a cruise ship.
On a raft.
Don't be on a raft. You're safer on the big boat.
That's what they're
going to do. Not according to that kaiju.
Everyone survived. Why are you guys acting like...
Did nobody mentally survive that?
We did see a couple women who were like underwater.
I bet some of them
Their room flooded and they were floating around and we didn't come back to them at any point.
I bet
they
did.
I got a little worried about it.
They did.
Okay. Less than 100 people died. That's not bad. I like those odds. be sure to follow at BreakroomNR on Instagram, Twitter, X, and Threads. We'll catch you next time. Latest skaters, goodbye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening. You can check out our Breakroom live streams at BreakroomNR on Twitch at 3 p.m. Pacific. And don't forget to subscribe on YouTube.